Welcome to Gospel Reflections from St. Mary's, Pope's Quay, Cork.
And you're very welcome to Gospel Reflections from Pope's Quay in Cork. I'm joined on the line by Father Philip Mulryan. Hello, Father Philip.
Hello, Father Morris.
How are you, Keith, brother? Thanks for joining us here on Radio Maria. Father Philip, you've got a new appointment as novice master. You're going to be coming to Cork and joining us in September, please God. How are you feeling about the new role?
I'm very much looking forward to it. It's a great responsibility, obviously, but one I'm very much looking forward to, being in the formation house, and you know, and please God, we have a number of vocations coming in, so it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for myself and a new start. I've been here in Newbridge for the last 2 years teaching in the college, so a new start for myself as well, so one that I'm really looking forward to.
Great stuff. So we're celebrating as a church universally this coming Sunday. Well, some are celebrating today the great solemnity of Corpus Christi, and we talked a little bit before coming on air about St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure, and both being commissioned to write a mass on this great solemnity, and St. Thomas coming out trumps. There's what the mass that he wrote, is that what we just heard there, Tantum Ergo? Was that part of it?
Yes, well, basically Pope Urban IV commissioned both St. Bonaventure and St. Thomas, you know, the, like, prominent theologians at the time, to come up with an office for Corpus Christi and for a mass set, mass, the prayers of the mass also. And St. Thomas, having his first, Bonaventure listening to St. Thomas's prayers, was moved to tears. And the tradition tells us that he ripped up his own composition for hearing St. Thomas's, and, you know, and that's where we get the prayers, very familiar prayers that our parents and grandparents would be familiar with, the Tantum Ergo, the O Salutaris, and even the prayer that O Sacred Banquet that St. Thomas composed as well. So it's really the fruit of his own prayer life and his own devotion to the Eucharist himself, you know.
So 800 years on, we still have these wonderful hymns, these wonderful meditations. You mentioned there O Sacred Banquet. In that wonderful prayer, where we're told that the Eucharist is a memory of our Lord's Passion, it's renewed. The Mass is a memory. Does that mean that it's just a symbol, or do we see it regarded as the real presence?
Yeah, when St. Thomas is talking about the Mass, he says there's a aspect that's in the past, in the present, and in the future. So it's a memorial in the sense that we look back to the saving events of Christ's life, but it's the memory of his passion, which is made present on the altar at every Mass. So it's not just a recalling of some event in the past, but something that's being re-presented here for us that we're present to, and we receive the grace of that, of the merits of Christ on the cross, and it's a foretaste of heaven. We already have a foretaste of heavenly life now by receiving in Holy Communion and so forth. So it's a memory of his passion, and then that passion is renewed on the altar on this very day that you receive it. So it's past, present, and future all at once.
And the prayer goes on and it says, the mind is filled with grace. Through the sacrament, the mind is filled with grace. What do we mean by that?
Well, another word for the mind is the soul. They're interchangeable, you know. So he's basically saying that, you know, the whole spiritual treasure of the church is contained in the Eucharist. That's why the church says it's the source and summit of the Christian life. Everything that Christ has, he gives to the church. It draws from Christ in the Eucharist. So when we receive Holy Communion, really our soul is filled with his presence. And where the Lord is, because he's inseparable from the Father and the Holy Spirit, so the Father and the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity comes to us. So therefore the gifts of the Spirit are strengthened within us that we received in baptism, and the soul is washed free from venial sins, even by receiving the sacrament, and we increase in grace and friendship with Christ. And so therefore it's like an invasion of grace, really, and a flooding of the soul by receiving the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So it's really his grace working in us through the power of the Holy Spirit.
In benediction, the priest says, you gave them bread from heaven, and then the congregation replies, providing in itself every pleasure. Like, we have that moment in the Old Testament, the manna from heaven, providing in itself every pleasure, every sweetness is another translation. massive statement. Many would disagree with it.
Yeah, it's exactly, because our modern notions of pleasure, as being the senses being heightened and so forth, you know. But the Latin term is like the word called delectatio, which means, even you can translate it as delight. So what we're talking about here is a spiritual joy, not just physical nourishment, but get kind of delight to the taste or whatever. What we're talking about here is that everything that the soul is made for is union with God. And therefore, when we receive the Blessed Sacrament, like we talked about there, the being filled with grace, everything contained in Christ is the soul's longing. And when it receives its Lord, then it rejoices and experiences that delight and spiritual joy. That doesn't necessarily mean that we may feel it in our senses, but the reality is that in our soul, this pleasure and this delight is taking place, you know, that everything is contained and flows from Christ, you know, so it encompasses everything. So yeah, the word pleasure doesn't really grasp it sometimes, the true meaning of it, you know.
And finally, just in the prayer, it says that we may ever feel within ourselves the fruit of thy redemption. I think you touched on this a little bit, but can you expand on that, please?
Again, there's a number of translations, and feel, again, feel maybe lends itself towards, you know, we're thinking about how we sense things and feel it really with our emotions and stuff. But a better translation would probably be perceive. It's often translated as perceive, that we may see and know, that we may know within ourselves the fruit of your redemption. And so the fruits of Christ's redemption on the cross are, you know, that we're brought back into relationship with, reconciled to God, that, you know, that we're open now to his supernatural grace working in our lives, and increase in virtues and in the Holy Spirit, all these different things that we may know in ourselves every time we receive communion, and that we're receiving the fruits. And St. Thomas himself often made this prayer, you know, Lord, may I not just receive your sacrament of your body, but also the fruits of the sacrament. So that's as important as well as thanksgiving after Mass, to really reflect on what we've just received and ask the Lord that its fruit may it may work through into our lives and into our daily lives of prayer and work in our faith, you know. So we're asking the Lord for what we've received to really make a difference and change us, and that we may know the fruit of what he did for us on the cross.
Do you have this Sunday now, will you have a procession in Newbridge, Corpus Christi procession?
Yeah, we have the procession starting from the parish church is quite close here, just over the bridge. So it starts at the parish church and makes its way to the Dominican church here. And then we solemn benediction here in the car park at the college with an altar erected. So yeah, it's always very beautiful and well attended.
Okay. Father Philip, listen, thanks a million for taking time out to speak to us here on Radio Maria.